And we're going to talk today about one of the biggest giants that Christians face. In fact, it's so big, I'm probably going to do it in two parts. That's how big this is. Right, in two parts. Because I don't want to make you know, when I show you what this is, at me, because it kept you too long. So, we've been talking a lot about facing our giants, and hopefully many of you have been tackling some of these giants in your life. I'll let you know that I have received some phone calls from people, and I have received some emails from people and text messages, and I've actually talked to some people about how this is making an impact in their life, that although they haven't been able to completely conquer all of these things, they have been able to at least do better at these things. How many would agree with that? At least you're aware of these things, right? And today, we're going to tackle a big giant in the church, and it is anger. That's why I'm going to do it in two parts, because I don't want you to get angry at me, you know? Because I walked by here last week, and somebody said to me, it's 20 after 12. I said, yeah, I know. So I don't want to make anybody angry at me today, so we're going to do this in two parts. So I don't make you, what?
Angry.
You know, I wonder how many of you get angry. I wonder, how many of you ever had at least one day worth of anger? And all the rest of you, you just made me mad because you're lying.
Liars!
Next week's giant is lying. How many get angry? You all do. You know you do. You know you do. Everybody has their little angry moments, don't we? Everybody has their little anger issues. And so we're going to talk about anger. And it's such a big deal, we're going to talk about it in two separate sessions. First, I'm going to talk about the problem. And next week, I'm going to talk about the solutions. Today's the problem. Lots of times, people will say to me, anger is a sin. Let's talk about that for just a second. Is anger a sin? Now, let's not yell it out. How many think anger is a sin? Okay, we got a couple. How many say anger is not a sin? Okay, how many can say anger could be a sin? Could be a sin, right? Anger in itself, is it a sin? Well, we're going to wrestle with that. We're going to put that to bed. I'm going to put that to bed for you once and for all. Let's turn in our Bibles to John 2, 14 to 15.
In the temple courts, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords and drove all of the temple courts, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of money changers and overturned their tables.
Does it sound like whoever that was is angry? So pretty angry, right? Let's talk a little bit about what's kind of going on. You see, the temple, it's supposed to be a house of prayer. We know that, right? We've talked about that. Certainly praise and worship, a house of prayer. But what happened back then in the days of Jesus is the temple turned into a business center. It became a place of business. Fact of the matter is, some folks will say, for example, that the church in itself, the building, the place, you know what I'm talking about, right? Not this. The place, you should not be doing business in a place like this. There are many people that find playing bingo for profit probably not a good thing. And some of the folks, you know, they have churches that play bingo, like Catholic churches, and they kind of say, well, that's not a good thing because they're actually gambling in the church. And there are some people that say that even exchanging money, like in the sanctuary, you know, like, for example, selling Girl Scout cookies. Now, I don't know, there's no judgments here, no judgmental anything, but selling Girl Scout cookies in the church would be a what? Would be a business. There are some people that say selling anything in the church would be a business. That's kind of like what some people believe. And I'm not here to tell you what you believe is right or wrong. You know, that's, you let God lay that on your heart. Does that make sense to you? But back then, they were actually making the temple a business. We know it was a business because back then you sacrificed animals, right? And in the, go into the temple courtyard, and there would be all of the goats and the sheep and the doves and all kind of stuff. And they were actually haggling over the prices. Like, for example, I want to buy a goat, theoretically. Well, how much is the goat? $50, I'll give you $40. No, not $40, I want $50. Okay, $43. And they were turning that into a business, into a big business. And then there were people gouging people because all about profit. You know, I want to buy a sheep to sacrifice. Well, it's going to be $50. Well, I don't have the $50. Well, go get it. They were actually conducting business for profit. And then the money exchangers were in like a banking system. And they would go in and they were ripping people off and making money and making a profit. And Jesus came to the temple and saw what they were doing. And he became what?
Angry.
We know that he became angry. Now, are we talking about the kind of anger where Jesus was sitting back and just say, oh, I just don't believe you're doing this. Was it that kind of anger? I can't believe they're doing this. Somebody has to do something about this. Was that the kind of anger Jesus had? No. Fact is, Jesus became so angry, he made a whip. It tells you in John 2, 14, 15, in the temple courts he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at a table exchanging money. And so he made a whip out of cords and drove out all from the temple courts, all of those who were doing this kind of stuff, drove them all out. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned the tables. Did it sound like he was angry? Did it sound like he was mad? Is Jesus capable of sinning?
No.
Did Jesus ever commit any sin? Did he ever commit even one sin? So is anger a sin? No, it is not. It's how you have anger makes it the sin. How you go about your anger. Is your anger righteous or self-righteous? Is your anger about everything else or is it all about you? Clearly Jesus Christ was what? Angry. Did he ever sin? No, he did not. So anger in of itself is not sinful. His anger was holy and justified. Maybe I'll just go first. I wish every time I got angry it was holy and justified. But it's not. How many would agree with that too? I mean, how many of you know that's just not the case? When you get angry, it's not holy. And most of the time, guess what? It's also not justified. You see, when we get angry, it's because someone is not doing what we wanted them to do. Or they're doing something we did not want them to do. And so we get what? Angry. I wanted you to do it. And I wanted you to do it when? Now. And you didn't do it. Who are you not to listen to me? And I get what? Angry. And sometimes we get angry because somebody is doing something they didn't do. Why are you doing that? I didn't tell you to do that. And so we get what? Angry. It's not righteous anger. It's what?
Self-righteous.
It's all about who?
Me.
You see, the bottom line is that someone is not meeting our expectations. They're just not doing what we expect them to do. And they're not doing what we expect them to do when?
Now.
Husbands and wives get angry at one another. Why? Because someone's not meeting somebody's expectations. And they get what?
Angry.
Many times when I counsel people, they'll say to me, "Well, I didn't know that." You know what I say? Why didn't you know
that?
Well, if I only would have known then what I know now. You know what I say? Why didn't you know then what you know now? You see, the reality of anger is somebody's not meeting somebody's expectations. And so we have two choices to do. We can either clearly define our expectations or change them. How many of you who are married in this room do not marry somebody perfect? Come on, Yoshiko. Oh, no. Check this out. You watch me, right? I watch all of you. I watch all of you. You watch me, I watch all of you, right? I said, who married somebody here that's not perfect? And Eric went. Now, you want to know what he was waiting for? I saw the whole thing. He was waiting to see if she went, okay. He was not going to be first, were you? Come on. You know, brother. You were not going first because you didn't want to make her what?
Angry.
Husbands and wives, fight. Relationships, men and women in relationships, fight. Fight because they are what? Angry. And they fight constantly over the what? Same things. Because somebody's not meeting somebody's expectations. Parents and children, same thing. Parents and children, they make me so angry. Why? Why are you so angry? Because they're not doing what I what? Expect them to do. Let's have a little test here. How many have children? How many have children? How many have children that are not incarcerated? Perfect. How many have children that are not on 10 to 20? How many do not have children in SEI Green where Colin goes? Perfect. How many have kids that act like kids? How many know kids are perfectly capable of being kids? Good, good. How many in this room have ever had a kid sass you back? How many of you taught them how to do that? Raise your hands. Raise your hands. Raise your hands. Next week, the giant of lying. How many of you ever said your kid, now you always tell the truth. Tell them I'm not home. How many of you tell your children to obey all the rules? How many say obey all the rules? How fast are you going to 65 mile an hour limit? I'm just asking. I'm just asking. I'm just throwing it out. I'm just throwing it out. How many know they learn what they're shown? Isn't that true? How many do not have perfect children? How many of you were not perfect children? There you go. And so what we need to do is, you know, we need to love and honor our kids for who they are. Are they sometimes sassy? Yes. How many wants a sassy kid over a murdering kid? We have friends who get mad at friends. Co-workers get mad at co-workers. We get parents mad at kids. We get spouses mad at spouses. It's crazy. And almost every single one of it is because of why? Somebody is not living up to somebody's expectations. And there are times we even get mad at God. Let's go to Jonah 4:1.
But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong, and he became very angry.
Who's Jonah mad at?
God.
Because see, Jonah was mad because Jonah wanted God to wipe out who? The Ninevites. What do you mean you're going to show them grace and mercy? They don't deserve grace and mercy. You want me to go down there and warn them that you're going to go? What? That's not how I would do it. And you're not living up to my what? My expectations. And when you get mad at God, see, same with you too. God's not living up to your expectations. You think God ought to be your divine Santa Claus sometimes. I want it. I desire it. I'm such a great person. What do you mean, no? How many's ever been angry at God? When my son was killed, I was angry at God. Oh, I was angry. You think he can handle it?
Yes.
He can handle it. There are times we get angry because God does not do everything we desire, and we get angry. So if anger is not a sin, and we said it is not, when does anger become sinful? I'm going to give you some things to think about. When does anger become sinful? Well, anger turns into sin when it's out of control. I don't want to give you the opportunity to lie to me, so I won't ask for a show of hands. But I wonder how many of you get out of control sometimes. Well, we have a couple hands raised, and anyhow. Okay, let's do it. How many get out of control sometimes? Ta-da! All the rest of you, 2 weeks, we're going to talk about what?
Liars.
We get out of control. You see, anger turns into sin when it is out of control. 7 books of the Old Testament. How many? 7 books of the Old Testament all describe God's anger as slow to anger. How many of you got a short fuse and a very large candle? I mean, how many of you on one day, man, your fuse could be like touching the TNT? And all I need, you know that Christian song, it only takes a spark to get the fire going. And soon all those around will warm up to its glowing. Oh, how many of you know there are some people that could brighten up a party by going home? How many can brighten up the party by staying home? You see, some of us understand that we have a very, very short fuse. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5, 19 to 21.
The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish, ambitious, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those of you who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God.
Amen. And the emphasis this morning is on fits of rage. God is what kind to anger? Slow. Easy going. Anger becomes a sin when we have what? Fits of rage. Explosive. Two kinds of anger I want to teach you about here this morning, brothers and sisters. One is explosive, one is implosive. Some of us have explosive rage, explosive anger. It's kind of like taking a hand grenade, pulling the pin, and say, catch that! And everybody around you. Implosive anger is the kind of anger that you take and you do what with it?
Internalize it.
It's like lighting a trash can and sticking it in the closet. It smolders. And pretty soon the whole house is what? Ablaze. You see, God does not have explosive or impulsive. He has righteous. And he is how? Slow to anger. Oh, not us. Especially when you've told the person at least once. How many times I gotta tell you this? I told you last year. And you're still doing it. What is wrong with you? How many know what's wrong with you? We know that implosive anger and explosive anger are anger that every person understands. And I want to explain to you the four faces of anger. I might have to do this 3 weeks. That didn't make you angry, did it? Cool. There are four faces of anger. The first one, rage. Oh, you are so going to get it now. When are you going to get it? Right now. Oh, you are so going to get it. And you're going to get it when?
Now.
Oh, right. Now. There was a guy in Philadelphia 2 years ago. He was stuck in traffic. And traffic was moving very, very slowly. And there was a guy that went up the berm of the road, passing everybody. And he wanted to scoot in front of this one driver. You feeling it so far? Oh, I mean, this guy was in traffic for a half an hour. And he looked in his mirror, and this guy's coming up the berm of the road, passing everybody. And then he tried to squeeze in. And as he was squeezing in, the guy was beeping on his horn, hey, no. And the guy squeezing in did this. Oh, yeah. Up the berm of the road. And then he cut in front of that guy. And as he's cutting in, the guy's laying on his horn. The guy cutting in went. The guy parked his car, reached into his glove box, pulled out a 9mm, went up to the driver, said, laugh at me, will you? Boom! Right in the head. What's that called? Rage. Rage. I wonder how many are capable of feeling that little guy. Oh, I'm sure most of you wouldn't pull out the 9mm, but how many could pull out some words, though? How pull out some, shall we say, gestures. And I'm being kind with the gestures. Couldn't we feel that? What's that called? Rage. The second face of anger that we feel that make us sinful is wrath. Wrath goes like this. Oh, I'm going to get you. Oh, I am so going to get you. But I got to plan this out a little bit. I got to think this through. Wrath takes a little planning. A little planning. Oh, you're going to get it. I don't know when you're going to get it. And I cannot say exactly how you're going to get it. Oh, but what, Sonny? You're going to get it when you least expect it. You're elected. How many understand that kind of stuff too? Oh yeah, come on, we know we're going there, right? Oh, you are going to get it. I got to think this out. The third kind of anger that men and women feel unfortunately, is indifference. Indifference kind of goes like this. I don't care whether you live or you die. I just don't care. My heart is shut off. That anger I have had towards you has been burning in the closet of my heart. And I just say, talk the hand. Just get away from me. How many understand indifference? The fourth one in which it truly is almost as dangerous as the wrath was called resentment. Resentment kind of goes like this. I no longer resent what you did. I resent you. I don't even care what you did. The fact is, you make me sick. Get out of my what? Life. Of those four different faces of anger, how many of you have shown at least one of those? Sure. How many? All four? That's okay. You will not have to take that next class in lying. You can stand up here with me and watch everybody else. How many have at least two? How many at times all four? That's what we human beings do. See, that's what we do. You see, we are rageful, wrathful, indifferent, resentful people. That's who we are. That's who people are. And in case you don't know this yet, you're sitting next to somebody who is that too. Oh, no, you are. Because I saw her hand go up. But see, the reality of it is, here's the reality. We don't do it here. Oh, no, we would never do it here. Not in the house of prayer. Would we? Oh, no. We'll wait until you get you in the car. Oh, and then we'll have our little pow-wowsy-wowsy. We'll have our little conversation when we get home. How many know that's the truth of it? The truth of it is sometimes, brothers and sisters, I see people coming in, and I know all of you, right? And I know most of your temperaments. I know most of the way you act. I really, truly do. And you pretty much know me, too. Would that not be so? If I come in, you kind of know how I'm going to be, and I kind of know how each of you are going to be, too. I kind of got that figured out. If you're observant, you kind of got that figured out. Is that not true? How many say that is true? You kind of know. And somebody walks in, I go, whoa, they must have had a conversation in the car. You don't think we know? Guess what? We know. Oh, no, we know. And guess who else knows? And so we got to understand that we experience these four things. There was a guy named E. Stanley Jones. I found this. A well-known missionary in India. And he said this. Check this out. Actions have killed in the thousands. Reactions have killed in the 10,000s. Let's talk about that one more time. Let's make sure we grasp a hold of that. Church, listen to me. Actions kill in the thousands. Reactions kill in the tens of thousands. How many react more than you should? Actions kill in the thousands, Brian. Reactions kill in the tens of thousands. Isn't that something? I want to let you know, brothers and sisters, that the one who angers you owns you. I'll run that by you one more time. Listen to me. The one who angers you controls you. The one who causes you to be angry owns you. How many ever took a debate class? Anybody ever take a debate class in school? You know one of the goals of the person you're debating is to make them what? Angry. Oh, if you can get them going, you what? You own them. You control them. And so when you're in an argument and you're getting angry, understand this. The person who's making you angry, guess what? Gotcha. Because you start slobbering. You start screaming words that make no sense. Your eyes bug out. Your cold mental frame goes away. You don't even know what you're saying anymore. And guess what? The person, when he sees you do that, keeps on piling it on. Don't they pile it on? The person who angers you, what? Owns you. How many of you are owned by somebody? Just asking. I want you to know that we can kill people spiritually by venting our hostility on them. I want you to know something. If you explode in outbursts of anger, If you explode in outburst of anger, ready? You are out of control. You have zero self-control. Totally, you have none. And so if you're going through life and you're becoming more angry, and you explode and you do that rage thing and words start coming out and things start getting thrown and people are just falling down at your feet, you're taking numbers, putting slash marks on the wall, you are out of control. And that's a problem for a Bible-thumping, born-again, card-toting, blood-bought, sanctified, Bible-toting, scripture-quoting kind of people. You're completely out of control. Because if you were one of those born-again, Bible-thumping kind of people, somebody should be controlling your life. Let's turn our Bibles to Galatians 5:23.
Gentleness and self-control. Against such things there is no law.
Gentleness and what? Self-control. Against those things there's no what? No law. Is it okay to be angry? Sure. Just don't what? Lose self-control. You know the irony of self-control and the irony of out of control? This is a sad, sad reality. I need to tell you the sad reality. This might be 3 weeks instead of two. That's okay. Haven't made you angry, right? So you okay? There's a lot of men, especially men, who buy these self-alarm systems. We have one in this church. We have one of those little, you know, come in, the bells and whistles go whoop, whoop. And we pay money for these things, right? And I see a lot of signs in the yard. Says I think it's called ADP or ADT or something like that. Yeah. How many understand what I'm talking about? And you want to make sure your family is safe, right? And so you pay money for this thing. Like, I don't know, $40 a month, whatever this thing costs. And you make sure that the windows are secure and the doors are secure because you don't want anybody coming in and hurt your family. How many agree that's probably a pretty good thing, right? We live in a scary world, right? And some people really go to the next step and they get a fence around the yard and they have motion detector lights. Anybody see a motion detector light, right? We have one outside here. You walk by, the light goes. And Sissy wants us to get one too, a little motion detector. I don't know why, the deer, I guess, are eating the corn. I don't know what's going on. There's nobody out there but me. And so, we, you know, the lights and then you have the bells and whistles and you have the fence and some people get a big dog, right? As a matter of fact, I had heard at UPMC they were teaching us how to be safe for the holidays, right? Check this out. This is free. I'm not charging anything for this. You get a great biggest dog dish you can get. Biggest dog dish you can find. You put it on the front steps of your house. And you hang on the doorknob the biggest leash made of chain you can find. And you stick it on the front door. On the doorknob, right? And put a sign, beware of dog. Guess how many burglars come into your house? None. Because they think you have what? Yeah, that's free. You can keep that. And so you get the Rottweilers, you get the German Shepherds. You don't feed them like for 4 years. You put them out in the yard, right? You get the fence, you put 220 to it. You turn on the alarm system. Man, your house is so secure. Nobody out there is going to hurt your family, man. Oh, you go in, you flip the switch. It's not just one. And the lights in the whole neighborhood go dim, right? The dogs are outside prowling, waiting to eat. Is your family safe? Who's protecting them from you? I'm going to say that one more time. Who is protecting them from who? You. You're the problem. Now they're all locked in the house, and guess what? They can't get away from guess who? You. They can't get away from you. I wonder how many men in this room would have knocked some other guy out for saying the same thing you said to the person you said you love. I wonder really truly, church, how many men in this room would have decked somebody for saying the same thing you just got done saying. How many would agree with that? I wonder how many women in this room would have slapped some woman silly for saying the things you just said to your own child. I wonder how many of us would say that's true. So who's protecting the world from guess who? You. Should that be so with us? No. It shouldn't be so with us. Let's turn to Proverbs 16:32.
He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city.
Mm-hmm. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit better than he who takes a whole city. Did you know that there are people in our society who rule over millions. Like in our country, 300 million. They sit in judgment. They sit and they govern in this country 300 million people. And I'm not going to name names, but how many know they can't control their own problems? Is that not true? How many know there are people that sit in high offices that can't control their own self, but yet they sit in judgment of who? All us. So we need to be able to control whose spirit? Our own spirit. Let's control our own spirit. Alexander the Great one day was weeping in his tent. Does anybody know why he was weeping in his tent? Alexander the Great, the conqueror of every nation in his known time, right? A Greek emperor. He conquered every land he could, and they found him weeping in his tent. You know why? There was nobody else to conquer. He was weeping in his tent because there was no one else to conquer. Alexander the Great. Somebody heard him weeping in his tent. Fact is, it was his best friend. Found him weeping in the tent. His name was Cletus. And Cletus was drunk, unfortunately. And Cletus went into the tent where Alexander the Great was weeping. And in front of Alexander the Great's generals, called him out and made fun of him. Made fun of Alexander the Great. How many of you say that probably wasn't a good idea? Alexander the Great is weeping, and his best friend Cletus goes in. Cletus has had a little bit to drink, and he calls him out. Something like, "You girly man." I made that up. No. It's not in the history books. Alexander the Great became so enraged at his best friend. He went over and took the spear off one of the generals and threw it at him to warn him, and unfortunately, killed him. Alexander the Great was so depressed for weeks at a time, he would lay in his tent sobbing that he killed his best friend. Why do I tell you that? To tell you this. Alexander the Great had conquered kingdoms, countries, and cities, but he could not conquer his own anger. Isn't that something? Let me just end with this. I wonder how many of you are put in authority, but yet you can't have no authority over yourself. I wonder how many of you make decisions for others and about others, but yet you can't control yourself. I wonder. I truly wonder in the church today, how many of us manage other people? I do. Anybody manage anybody? I do. But yet sometimes I have a hard time managing. Guess who? Me. I can't manage myself. How many agree with that? So I'm going to do something for you that somebody should have done a long time ago. And you know how I really feel if you get upset. You know what I feel, really feel about that, right? I don't care, whatever. Are you ready? I, as the senior pastor of this church, am officially firing you. Yep. You no longer have control over you. You are officially what? Fired. You are lousy at it. You cannot do it. You've been ruining your life and everybody else's life who comes in contact with you. And I am officially right now, you are all what? Fired. You are fired. And I have a new manager I'm appointing over your life. You are officially fired. And I'm hiring the best CEO that money cannot buy. And Jesus Christ is now your manager. And you are no longer in control of your life. Forget it. You stink at it. You cannot do it. I fired you. And I'm putting Jesus Christ in charge of you. How many say amen to that? So do not beg for your job back. I'm not giving it back to you. You are fired. And you want to know the truth about that? You think you're excited, huh? I'm wondering if the person seated next to you is more excited. I'm just saying. I'm just throwing it out. I'm just planting my seed. And I wonder how many people at home are saying, "Oh, yes, thank you, Pastor. Thank you so much." I just wonder. Now, I'm going to stop now because I don't want to make you what? Angry. So that 2-week thing I told you? Three. It's two more. I hope I'm not making you angry. Well, here's the reality. Some of you have heard this message on anger, and you're probably saying to yourself, oh, man, that kid just went, hit a home run with me. Anybody want to fess up? Is this touching anybody besides me in this room? Perfect. Now, I wonder how many are going to do anything about it. Isn't that the truth? I wonder how many are going to do anything about it. Probably not many. Probably if you go home now, get in traffic, and somebody starts waving at you, you know what I'm saying? Just saying. Now listen, on the way home, let me just challenge you this, and I want to warn you about this right now on the way home. No spouse turned to another spouse and said, did you listen to what he was talking about? I mean, in case you forget, Mike makes copies of it. Christmas is coming. I'll get you one. Let me tell you about this. Oh, quit worrying about the speck in somebody else's eye. These two. Quit worrying about the speck in somebody else's eye when you got a what? Oh, you got a log in yours. From this point forward till Christmas, you're going to keep hearing me tell you this. I want you, if you got all your Christmas shopping done, I want you to get one more present. I want you to do something for your spouses, your family, your friends, your coworkers. I want you to get one more thing. And I want you to get more Jesus. And I'm not talking about in them. I'm talking about in you. Amen. You get more Jesus in you. Guess what? That might be the best present they're ever going to get. How many say amen to that? So go shopping on your knees. Stay out of Walmart. You're going to get angry. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for this message on anger. Lord, we are guilty. We are guilty as charged. And anybody here who says they're not, well, then we'll work on them with another message. Every one of us get angry because we do. Because we're sinful people. That's who we are. We're sinful people. But Lord, we don't have to be ensnared and trapped to this. We can learn some skills on how to avoid this and control this before it controls us. Lord, help us to be people that are gentle and more self-controlled. And all of God's people said,